Be on the battle lines this morning if you want to be. There's a whole open space up here. You can encourage our brothers and sisters. You do not have to stay out there. Like, that's awesome. Do what you do, but like, let's have some fun this morning.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Oh. raise your voice one more time. Say, holy, holy,
holy, holy.
It's who you are. God, we just thank you for how great your love is. God, you loved us when we didn't deserve to be loved, Father. You loved us when no one else loved us, Father. We were traveling yesterday on the way home, and we stopped at IHOP because they have Kids Eat Free, and I'm all about saving a little bit of money. And they give you the little mats, you know, for the kids to color. And Jackson, he's 5, and he really spent a lot of effort coloring. He, like, had it multicolored, and he said, "Mom, I want to put this on the refrigerator when I get home." He was so excited about it. So I took it, and I put it to the side, like, the way the booth was. There was, like, a little kind of shelf between the other booth, and so it wouldn't even get messed up with food. We didn't want it to get wet. Well, at the end, I took Harper to the bathroom, and I came back, and the kid and Jackson and Gary were standing out there, and they were like, they took the food away, the whatever, and they had taken everything off the table and put it in the trash. And Jackson, he was trying not to be sad, you know, he was holding it in, holding tears in, and he was trying to, you know, be a big boy, and we walked out to the van, and I said, Gary, are you sure? Did you ask to see if you could get it back? He said, Miranda, it's in the trash. It's got food on it. I mean, there's no getting it back. There's no getting it back. So I get in the van, and Jackson now, you know, he's got tears, and I start the van up, and I couldn't leave. I said, you know what? I haven't tried. So I walk back in. I said, I'm not that person. They're going to think I'm crazy going in there asking for a piece of paper out of the trash can. The woman, she was very nice, and she got Harper's paper, but Jackson's wasn't in the trash can. I said, okay, well, he said he only took one paper. Are you sure that you don't have it somewhere? I said, I don't know. We went and looked, and the paper had slid on the other side, was on the floor underneath another booth. Completely perfect, you know. Can I say that, you know, God put that paper under there? I don't know, but I know that God knows a 5-year-old's heart. But I know even more importantly, he knows your heart today. You know, maybe that feels like your life a little bit. You know, maybe there's something, a part of your life, a dream that you had, a piece that you just thought was going, you know, you were proud of, but it got thrown away. Or it feels like it got put in the trash. Maybe someone even said, hey, you know what, it's not worth it. It's not worth trying that anymore. It's ruined. That part of your life is ruined. That part of your family is not coming back together. That job is not going to happen. That accomplishment is not going to happen. But you know what? God knows your heart more. And like I said, that God, I'm a human mom. How much greater are his ways than my ways? How much more will he go after what you have, the desires of your heart? He cares. How great is his love? I've said it before here. It was one of my favorite scriptures. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us. 1 John chapter 3, that we should be called children of God. And that's what we are. How great is his love today? I don't know what it is that you're going through, but whatever it is, God sees it. He hears it. He knows it. It's more important than a little piece of paper. Was your heart today. Give that to him. We're going to pray. If Matt can just play a little bit while we pray. Father God, we thank you that you see us, God, that we are called your children. You're the great, how great is the love that you've lavished on us, Father. I pray right now that each person sitting here, whatever it is, in a piece of their heart, family situation, a job situation, whatever it is that maybe they've even given up on it, but maybe you just have it saved to the side. But God, remind them today of how special that is, even in your eyes, how much they are loved, how much they are cared for. Wrap your arms around each of us today, Father God. Remind us how great is your love that you've lavished on us, Father. We thank you. In your name we pray. Can we just give him a hand of praise, Father? We thank you. You may be seated at this time. We're so glad to have you with us on this holiday weekend. You know, it's a weekend of freedom, not just physical freedom, but also spiritual freedom. Walk in his spiritual freedom today in this service as well. Freedom comes with a sacrifice. Sacrifice allowed us to have physical freedom, but also the sacrifice of Jesus allows us our spiritual freedom as well. At this time, if you would make your way for the offering, where our buckets are up here at the front. And we are almost, it's almost time for vacation Bible school. I have a quick video that I'd like to show you about vacation Bible school.
Hey, there's only one spot left.
For what?
For the VBS sign up.
I wanted to sign up for that. Could you take me? Church is real close.
It's all mine, buddy.
Come on, open up.
Ha!
So five.
Woo.
Hey, what's going on here?
He took the last spot on the volunteer sign-up sheet.
Oh no, there's always more room for volunteers at BBS. Should we tell him?
Nah.
We haven't had anybody running into the church just yet to sign up for Vacation Bible School, but we do need your help. Vacation Bible School starts next Monday night. It's Monday, July the 11th through Friday, July 15th, and we have the kids from our church that come to that, but also we have kids from the community that they don't go to any other thing. They don't go to church on Sundays, but they do go to Vacation Bible School. So it's an amazing opportunity for our kids and the community to hear about the love of Jesus. And that's what it's all about this year. It's called Monumental, celebrating God's greatness, how great God is, how amazing His love is. And that's something that if kids learn at an early age, they won't forget. So maybe you're available to help one night. Maybe you're available to help all five nights, which would be wonderful. But if you're available to help in any capacity, please see me after the service. I'll be right up here at the front or somewhere around in the sanctuary. We really need a few more volunteers to make this happen. We want to have this be a great experience for our kids, and that more importantly, that they experience God's love. We had a great weekend. Last days of last week, the youth went to youth camp. They had a wonderful experience of God's love and testimonies that they're going to share at another time, but we're just so blessed and so thankful that they were able to go and that they were able to have that experience as well. One more thing, this week is set up for Vacation Bible School. If you are available today after service or really any day this week, you can get in contact with me. You can also see me after the service. I can give you my phone number. You can let us know, even if you're able to help for an hour. We try to decorate the church as much as we can so that it's a fun time for the kids. Today we're blessed with Pastor Bernie Hurdle is going to come and bring forth the word for us today. Can we just give him a welcome? While he's coming, let's go ahead and pray over the word. God, we just thank you for Pastor Bernie. We thank you for the word that you have given him to bring forth today. I pray that you would bless it, that you would prepare the hearts and minds of everyone sitting here, that you would prepare them to hear and receive what you have for us today. In your name we pray, we thank you. Amen.
Let the church say amen. Amen. How many of you glad to be here today? It is good to be in the land of the living. I don't know about you, but I'm not here because of my own being. God is my keeper, and not me myself. I realize that every day as I wake up that I'm not here because I've done anything good and kind. It's all because of God's grace and his mercy. And the book of Lamentations says that his mercies are renewed morning by morning and day by day. Guess what? Today we have new mercies. And we ought to give a hand clap of praise for that. Amen. Amen. I'm truly grateful and thankful today that God would allow me to even stand in such a sacred place as this morning. I don't feel that I'm even qualified or deserving of it, but Pastor Wallace saw fit that I would stand here in his stead this morning, and I want to thank him today. I want to thank him for giving me this opportunity and to speak a word. And my prayer that you'll become edified, that God would become glorified, and that we all would continue to press on in Jesus' name. I want to thank my daughters, my granddaughters, showed up again this morning, Joel. Out of my peripheral vision, I say, who are those people over there? I don't know if I know them or not. But I tell you what, I know who they are. You want to find out who they are? You bother them. And I'm going to tell you, like I told a guy that came to see Kimberly one time, you see that young lady right there? He said, yes, sir. She's more precious than silver or gold. And if you bother with her, you're going to find out your worth. Amen. And I do truly want to thank my wife. My wife has supported me in times I didn't think she should. I'm not deserving of such a lady as her. She stood by my side through thick and thin. She's always concerned about my well-being. She is, even this week, she's tried to get me to slow my roll a little bit, Pastor Mike. She tried, but it didn't work too good. But how much she believes in me is amazing. A long time ago, Joel and Pastor Mike and the other pastors in here, I had to preach one Sunday morning at the church I accepted the calling in, and Pastor Mills would, I thought he was very hard on me. Well, he was very hard on me, Mike. He was, but it was a good thing. Turned out to be. And he would always tell me to keep a sermon in your pocket. I said, I'm going to walk around with a message rolled up on paper in my pocket. This is right on point what the message is going to be about today. He called me one Sunday morning about 4 o'clock. He lived in Virginia Beach. He said, I'm not going to be there today. You're going to have to preach. Not only did I have to preach that morning, I had a class to teach that Sunday morning. So when I left home, I grabbed the wrong bag. I had the teaching bag, but not the preaching bag. When preaching time came, I looked in the bag, no notes. Joel had no notes. I was horrified. I looked down at that lady right there that God gave me. I said, honey, I ain't got no notes. She said, you'll be all right. I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to be all right. You're not standing here. On that day, I was shaking in my boots. And just so you know, I'm shaking in my boots right now. Because I know who's the one doing the speaking. It's not me, myself. But it's the Holy Spirit that God has given us. So today, I just want to take a little time. Not going to keep you all day. And we're going to get into the Word. And again, Pastor Wallace got me in this new technology age. So if it goes wrong, it's his fault, not mine. I'm still learning. I had a guy to work on the job for us, and the guy's nicknaming Dirt. And Dirk told me one day, he said, Mr. Burnett, I'm still learning, so y'all bear with me. Bear with me. But anyway, I want to this morning go to the book of Ephesians to begin with. Going to the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter. I'm going to read the 10th through the 18th verse. The words from the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul said these words, and beginning at the 10th verse from the NIV, he said, finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when that day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in your place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flying arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert, always keep on praying for all the saints. Let us bow our heads. Our God and our Father, which art in heaven, Lord, it's preaching time. Your manservant stand here trembling, O God. And Lord, I ask, O God, that you, O God, would increase, that I would decrease, that the Holy Spirit would have its way in me and through me. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. And I read those scriptures, but that scripture, but we're going to be giving some more scriptures this morning. And my subject today is preparing for the battle. How many of y'all know, if you're Christian today, do you recognize that you're in a battle? You turn on that thing called the TV. If you don't think we're in a battle, just keep watching that thing, and you'll understand that Satan is on the loose. And I believe he's on the loose because he knows his time is short. And he's wreaking havoc everywhere he can. And the worst place he's trying to wreak havoc is in the home. If he can tear up the nuclear family, he thinks he's got it defeated. But God is the head of all of this. And it's him we have our being. And I just want to say this morning that we have to prepare for the battle. And there's a miracle just happened on the screen right there. You see that picture right there? Are you prepared for the battle? When I was preparing this week, I said to myself, it'd be nice if there was a picture of a man in armor up there. I didn't request that. Pastor sent me that yesterday. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I was telling you, I'm still learning, so I didn't know how to do that. But anyway, it's good to have that picture up there for our mind's sake, that we can absorb what preparing ourselves for the battle is really like. Because every time we get up in the morning, every day that God allows us to get up, we have to prepare to go out of the house. We have to prepare for battle. And even in the midst of me trying to prepare this message this week, it seemed like every time I turn around, there was something getting in my way. I said, you know what, I'm going to have this message ready by Tuesday night so I can turn it in so it can get where it needs to get. Well, that didn't happen. Monday, I was so tired when I got home, I started on it, and that's all I did was start it on it. Tuesday evening, I was so tired when I got home, I said, I'm going to take a shower and eat. I'm going to sleep. Well, that didn't happen to me because I was on the phone with the boss's wife till almost 10 o'clock at night. I said, well, Satan, you just a lie. You think that dude don't get in your way? I'm just speaking some simple truth into you today. You think that dude don't get in your way? He gets in your way every way you turn. And if she began to tell me about some deadlines I had to do by Thursday, or else my prologger status was going to go by midnight Thursday night, so I had to take a training module online. So I done that on Wednesday night till after 10 o'clock. Then she said, well, you know you're in the truck driver's, national truck driver's pool because I have class A CDL license. So I got called for random drug testing, alcohol testing. The only drug I'm high on is the Holy Ghost. I say, that's the only drug I'm high on. But anyway, I found my way up to that place they call Urgent Care in Suffolk, and they made me sit there for an hour. I'm saying, you know what, I'm wasting my time. The devil said, well, you get up and walk out of here. I said, no, I better not do that. But I sit there. I'm just giving you simple little things to help you out because I guess this stuff don't happen to y'all. So it just happens to me. But I'm sitting there, and I'm saying, you need to get up out of here. You're wasting time. You got stuff to do. So I sit there, and finally, I went in there and told the lady. I said, you know what? So the drug test, you got to go to the bathroom. The alcohol test, I got to blow in this thing. I said, lady, I need to go to the bathroom. She said, no, you blowing in this thing first. I said, lady, you don't understand the urgency of the matter. Do y'all understand the urgency of the matter we're in today when it comes to the devil bothering us? It's urgent. It's getting more urgent every day. And when I'd ask God what to preach about, and this is, my mind just fell on this, about putting on the whole armor of God. Even in the midst, oh God, when we're trying to do right, you remember the Apostle Paul said, even when we're trying to do good, evil's always present. He's present on every side. He's in the back, he's in the front, he's everywhere. But you know what? I walk by faith and not by sight. I don't like that dude. I really don't care nothing for him. I want to give him place in my life. Don't want to do that. But you know what? He's around, and we need to acknowledge that he's around. And he has power sometimes because we give him power. But Satan is telling us, but Apostle Paul is telling us, even though the dude is around, we don't have to give him any time. You hear me what I'm saying? We don't have to give him time. But I'm reminded of preparing myself to go out of the door in the morning. And a few weeks ago, I was leaving work and up on Highway 32 in Virginia, a car pulled out of the side road right in front of me. I stomped on the brakes, blew the horn, and the guy flipped the birdie to me. In my mind, all that praying I've been doing all day long, you know what, it kind of went out the window momentarily. I said, oh, baby, it's on now. It's on now. He don't flip me the birdie. He don't ask for it. But the Holy Spirit that lives inside of me, the Holy Spirit, as quick as that happened, the Holy Spirit kicked in. Don't tailgate him. Don't pull beside him. Just back off and watch what he does. He went across the Virginia line, went two houses down, turned in the driveway. And I blew my horn. Hello. But I can't do that under my own power. It's by the power of Almighty God that we get to do that. I have no strength of my own. I can do a lot of things on my own. I can fail all by myself. I don't need your help to be messing up. I can mess up right by myself. In Romans 7 and 21, it says, the Apostle Paul said, so I find this law to be at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. And then when you go to Romans 1 and 28, Romans 1 and 28 said it, I said this is so prevalent right now for these times that we're living in the battle we're fighting. Romans 1 and 28 said, furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind so that they do what ought not to be done. I have a nephew in Maryland. He's not my nephew, really. He's my niece's husband, but I call him my nephew. And he's kind of my confidant a little bit. we talk a lot. We talk about the situation that we live in now as Christians. And I thought about this passage of scripture, Joel, as I was preparing. I say, well, the situation we're in now that we're living in is that people do what they want to do. They've taken wrong and turned it right. They're taking right, whip it over the wrong, and do what all manner of things. But the Bible forewarned us that God said, in the King James, he said, I'll turn you over to a reprobate man. In other words, you keep on doing what you want to do, you will fall into destruction. The Bible says there's a way that seems right unto man, but it leads to destruction. You can't keep on doing bad and expect good to come out of it. It just doesn't work that way. You can't plant corn when you want tomatoes to come up. It doesn't work that way. We got to walk by faith and not by sight. So as I continue to dwell on this word and I try to make sense of everything going on around us, I thought to this. I said, you know what? The battle is not ours, because we're living in a godless time. 2 Timothy 3rd chapter 1 through 5. It reads this way, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lover of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. And the Bible tells us to come out from among them. About what the Bible says. And I picked that scripture because oftentimes I'm asked, well, what's going on in the world now? Why are we here? The Bible already said this is where we're going to be. We're here, people, whether you want to accept it or not. If you're going to be a Christian, you might as well accept the fact what's going on in the world. And we as Christians, we need to continue to walk in the light, the beautiful light, and that's the light of God's holiness. And as we go from day to day, we try to do our best. And as we go, Isaiah 26 and 3 said, if I let my mind stay on God, then he'll keep me in perfect peace. See, some people depend on their spouse to keep me in perfect peace. I don't just depend on the woman that God gave me to keep me in perfect peace, because guess what? Sometimes she's not in peace, and she can't be my keeper. And I can't look to my children to be my keeper. But I know that God can be my keeper, because I tried him on for myself, and I tried him on at the very gates of hell, and he turned me around from the gates of hell, and he took my feet and placed them on the right road to stay. And I know what I'm talking about. If I hadn't tried him for myself, I wouldn't be standing here today. I know what he can do. I wouldn't be standing here today if it wasn't for God, because there's some people would have loved to take in my life. God is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He leading me beside paths of still waters. He keeping my soul. I've been down so many trails. Pastor Mike, one day in the woods several years ago, I was standing nose to nose with a gentleman because he felt like what I was doing wasn't right. I was standing in my pickup truck door. Y'all listen to this good. You want to talk about some gun violence? I was standing in my pickup truck door. He cursed me out, got nose to nose. On the console was a 9mm pistol in my truck. Had 15 in the clip, one in the chamber. It was ready to go. By the grace of God, I never even thought about it. Never thought about it. I told him, I said, tell you what you do, you give me your best punch. He never lifted a hand. That's God's grace and mercy and favor. But I carried that pistol home that day and put it in the house. It's never come out again, because God showed me something that day. I didn't really need that pistol for that. You know what? If I lose my life, I lose it for him. And the Apostle Paul said, to be absent from the body is what? To be present with the Lord. You know what? I mean, I might not want to go right now, but I'm looking forward one day to going home to be with the Lord. And I don't know how I'll go, when it'll go, but I do know this. Right now, God's keeping me. And I thank him for it every day of my life. And as I go from day to day and pressing on my way. So how must we prepare for the battle ahead of us in this Christian walk? You know, there's that picture up there of the man with the armor. But let me share something with you that we see too much on TV. We see policemen in riot gear. How many of y'all seen policemen in riot gear? They got stuff on the breast, stuff around the waist, stuff on the head. And this is what this text is all about today, about putting on the whole armor of God. And putting on the whole armor of God, you know, the Apostle Paul said, and back to Ephesians 6, he said, but he said, for finally, He said to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You know how you get the power of God? It's by studying his word. And the Bible says for us to meditate on it day and night. Don't turn to the left from it. Don't turn to the right from it. But look straight ahead and meditate on God's word. The Apostle Paul trying to share with us, this is what we're going to need if this is what we plan to do, is to be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus Christ. If we're going to be successful, we have to realize the wealth of his position in Christ and the power of his will. Put on the full armor of God, he tells us to do, so that you can take your stand against the schemes of the devil. The devil got a whole lot of ways of showing us some stuff. Like I said, if you look at TV long enough, you'll get tempted to do some stuff. So we don't need to do that, but we need to be able to stand. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces in heavenly realms. You know, oftentimes those things we fight against is not those physical things that we see. It's those things behind the scene that we don't see that is beating up on us. And you can go out on the street each and every day of your life if you want to and walk down the street and somebody can sneak up behind you like they did the girl in New York and just shoot her. So we'd always see those physical things. The enemy that you think might be your enemy is probably not your enemy, but that one invisible one that the devil uses. So therefore, put on the full armor of God so that in the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm with the belt of truth. He tells us to put on the belt of truth. And when we put on the belt was used by the soldiers back in the day to go around their waist, and it protected their kidneys and other vital organs in their body. Then he tells us to put on the breastplate of righteousness to protect our heart and our lungs. And we think about this where Proverbs 4:23 said to guard our hearts. We got to guard our hearts because out of the heart flows all of the things that we need. Then the gospel of peace is our protection, reminding us that it is out by grace that our souls are saved. 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for that hope that you have. Tells us to do it with gentleness and respect. We put on the shield of faith, and it will blot out the doubt and as we walk by faith and not by sight. We put on that shield of faith because we sometimes doubt. Have any of you ever doubted before? Come on now, tell the truth. Amen. Somewhere along the line, if you've doubted, you might want to raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. That'd be okay. But somewhere along the line, you have doubted. And as we have doubted, but when we put on this shield of faith, our faith must grow and be strong each and every day. 2 Corinthians 5:7 said, I'm leaning and depending on God. And we put on the helmet of salvation. It protects our head where all the thoughts and knowledge reside. 2 Corinthians 10:5, we take every thought in obedience. And one Bible verse says, take it in captive. And the 6th, we take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Hebrews 4:12. I just want to read a little bit of that to let you know that there are things that we can do to help ourselves. Those are physical things that we put on. But I'll stop by today to share with you. There's some spiritual clothing we need to put on. We need to put on the whole armor of God. And that comes by the Holy Spirit. When we allow the Holy Spirit to enter into our lives, it covers a whole lot of bases. It begins to fix us up on the inside, and something on the inside begins to work on the outside. And people can't understand why that you can walk around like you walk around with your head up in the air, not hung down. Even in this dark days that we live in, we can walk up with our heads up in the air because of Jesus the Christ. When you know he's walking with you, when you know he's talking to you. See, he whispers to me, even when you don't think so. The guys on the job might not know it, but God is always speaking in my ear because without him, I am nothing. Proverbs 16 and 7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, that even his enemy had to live at peace with him. I stopped by today to let you know that God's walking with me, talking with me. I just need to take heed and listen to that still small voice that's speaking to my heart, my mind, and my soul. Somebody ought to say amen in the house today. But I know it's by God's grace that I'm here today, and not that anything that I've done, good or even kind. But as a seventh thing, help me, Holy Ghost. Are y'all preparing for battle today? But as a seventh thing, and this is the final thing, it is the power of prayer. We got anybody in the house that loves to pray other than me? You know, Psalmist David said he rose up early in the morning and he prayed. And after he prayed, he lay in wait for an answer from the Lord. But while we're waiting, I must press on toward that high mark in Christ Jesus. I got to keep looking to the hills from which comes my help. Woo! Help me, Jesus. From which help, my help coming from the Lord, the one who made the heavens and the earth, and not me myself. I look to the hills because there I find shelter in the time of storm. I find refuge from the troubles of life. The psalmist David said, oh, taste and see that he's sweeter than the honey on a honeycomb. And I know he's sweet because he has blessed me beyond any way that I could understand. I can't believe it, Miranda. I can't believe I'm standing here today. Can't believe it, but I thank God for it. Even though I'm as nervous as a cat on a tin roof, I still thank God for it. But the power of prayer. And the Bible tells us that we're to pray on all occasions. All kinds of prayers and requests for all kinds of people. To be alert. Always keep on praying. For the Lord's people. We operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. I stopped by this morning to share some verses from a song when I was growing up. How many of you know Mahalia Jackson? She made this song famous. It's called I Found the Answer. I learned to pray. I found the answer. I learned to pray. With faith to guide me, I found my way. The sun is shining for me each day. I found the answer. I learned to pray. Walking in darkness, I could not find my way. But then a light came shining to lead me from despair. All my sins forgiven, and I am free from care. Keep your Bible with you. Read it every day. Always count your blessings. Always stop and pray. Learn to keep on believing, and faith will see you through. Seek to know contentment, and it will come to you. I found the answer. I learned to pray. Let me tell you a little bit about my upbringing. I was brought up in a starch, straight, the words are even used to describe the Christian home I was brought up in. But for you not to go to church on Sunday morning, you had to be almost at death's door. You had to go to church. But prayer started around the breakfast table on Sunday morning. While we were preparing to go to church and before we eat breakfast, and my dad taught us the 23rd song before I even went to school, and we would pray around the table. And as I got older, I began to learn to pray myself. And even down as I got a little older, and like the rest of us, you know, you get to a dog off the chain when he breaks his chain. Well, I broke my chain. Pastor Michael broke my chain, but the Bible says train up a child in the way he's supposed to go. When he get old, he'll know to come back. Well, I broke my chain, Miranda, but guess what? I God mended the chain, brought me back where I was supposed to be. Then I began to learn to pray, and now I don't want to start my day without praying. If I leave the house without praying, I feel like I left the armor off. I feel I'm as naked can be. But when I pray in the morning, when I tell God all about how much I love him, when I tell God how much I care for him, when I let him know, God, how what you have done for me, and God, I'm not worthy of the least of your blessings, and when I can get up in the morning and ask God to walk with me and talk with me as I go from day to day, I said, Lord, I don't know what I face today, but God, but you do. I'm putting my faith in you, oh Lord. I'm walking again, God, by faith and not by sight. And I continue to pray and just to thank God. And my prayer goes from request to praise. Goes from request to praise. I say, I'll lift my hands and I'll begin to say, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. For you are worthy, Lord. You're worthy to be praised, God, because you have kept me, oh Lord, when I didn't deserve to be kept. You have kept me, Lord. Days when I was sick and it didn't feel good, Lord, you've kept me. Days when Doris and I was so broke we couldn't buy a loaf of bread, you supplied our needs. Been there, done that, bought that t-shirt, done burn it up. God, I know where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord, the one who created the heavens and the earth. I just stopped by today to try to encourage in these dark days we live in. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. Because God is with us. He's blessed this guy. He has really blessed me. Somebody asked me, why do you preach so hard? You don't know what God did for me. You don't know my story. You just see part of the story, but you don't know my story. There's a God in heaven that sits high, but he looks low. He don't even want a sparrow to go home. What about you and I? He always holds us in the cradle of his arms. So put on the whole armor of God so that you can stand this evil day. I ain't calling out no political party, but you can't trust the president. I don't care what party he is. You can't trust Congress. You can't trust nobody. Depending on the government, take care of you. You're going to be so poor, you're going to die. Starvation, death. But when you put your trust in God, I don't mind sharing. In 1989, my wife will tell you this. We were so financially distraught. The turkey we had for Christmas, somebody gave it to us. When I went to work for Bateman Logging, I had turkey sandwiches for work because by God's grace, the day after Christmas, he said I could go to work with him. It went out that I wanted a job. I needed a job. Those two girls right there. They had to be taken care of. But we were broke. But we weren't disgusted. Didn't give up on God. God put us in a place so he could grow us. And I thank him for it. I thank him for the bad days. Y'all think I'm crazy, don't you? I thank him for the bad days. The not so good days. The unhappy days, the days when there wasn't plenty, I thank him for. Because I'm like the Apostle Paul now. I know what it is to have a plenty. I know what it is not to have any either. My dad used to say, just as long as he's had a bungalow along the side of the road, he'll be all right. Guess what his son knows now too? God is in the bungalow just as much as he is in a mansion. Probably more so in the bungalow. Because the God of the mountain is also the God of the valley. Amen. Amen. Are y'all ready to put on the whole armor of God? Amen. Amen. If the praise team would come back and, Matt, you done a mighty good job this morning. I like guitar. The whole praise team done well. I thank God for Pastor Wallace and I thank God that Some days I ask myself, Lord, why are you keeping me here? You know, say, we do grow weary sometimes, Pastor Mike. The Bible tells us to not be weary in well-doing, but we as human beings, we do. But the Bible also says he renews our strength through the wings, like the wings of an eagle. Some days, when my wife tells me, you just don't need to press so hard, I continue to press because I know that's what God wants me to do. How many of y'all know that we as Christians, we're a walking billboard? We're a walking billboard because we can say anything out of our mouths, but to do it is another thing. So even when Miss Doris think I ought to give up, gotta press on. Gotta press on. Is there anybody here today and you don't feel like you've been clothed with the armor of God? If you feel like you need help in that category, or if you have any other need, I'm gonna ask you to join us around the altar this morning. Matter of fact, you know what? Our pastor needs prayer. Can I ask y'all to come join me around the altar this morning? And I'm going to ask Pastor Mike if he would come lead us in a word of prayer concerning Pastor Wallace. He needs prayer. He told me yesterday, he texted me that picture. He said, by the way, praying for me. He said, I got to preach at my son's church today. He's talking about today. Pastor Wallace carries a big burden. So I try not to dial his phone no more than I can help. I try not to do that. He's a busy man, but he always takes time for you. I don't take that for granted. And we need to lift him up in prayer, hold him up in prayer, him and Miss Joy and their family. I pray days for him, and I pray that no weapon formed against them shall prosper, but turn into rust and dust, that it won't harm them, as it be about God's business. I don't know about you, but I love the Lord. Aren't you glad God loves us? God loves us in spite of our own selves. We're not good of our own, but he loves us in spite of. Can y'all sing just a little bit of that? Then I'm going to ask Pastor Mike to come and pray.
Glorious Lord, we do thank you for our shepherd, your under-shepherd that looks after the cares of this flock. And I pray today, and we join together in lifting Pastor Wallace up, that he might be refreshed, that he might be renewed, be encouraged. And Lord, that you would strengthen him. He carries a heavy load. But we love him because he loves us like you do, Lord. He cares for us. I'm sure he sends messages to different ones every day. He lifts me up on days that he knows I need it, and I don't know how he knows except for you told him. So we ask you, Lord, to give him the words as he speaks today and give him the encouragement to continue this battle. And let us all join together in following you and doing your will. Now bless his family. Bring them back to us safely. And Lord, we look forward to being in his presence next week. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Mike. Is there anybody here today have special prayer requests? If you do, just raise your hand. Somebody will pray with you. Joel, amen. Is there another one? There's one right here.
We're going to do this is a song, but I want to do this, what you were speaking about today, Pastor Bernie, is
He walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the door we share as we tarry there, no one has ever known. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own.
It's not fries, let's do it.
Thank God for today. I thank God for all of you. I want you to know that I love this church and love the people here. I ask blessings upon each and every one of you today. And as we prepare ourselves to leave this place, it's 4th of July weekend, but if you're going to play with fireworks, I ask you to please be careful with them. Please be careful. Years ago, I was in the Chihuahuan Eaton Anonymous Club, and those fireworks, if y'all ever seen them in Eaton, I was one to help put them in the air. We went to Rock Hill, South Carolina for training for it. And this year, the people that contracted to do it got killed in LaGrange after some of the fireworks blew up. So don't be playing with this stuff today. Be careful. You leave this place today, Lord. We come, O Lord, ask us, God, that you be with us to prepare ourselves to leave this place for not your presence. Lord, give us traveling mercy back to our separate homes. Lord, and when we get home, find things to be as we left them, O Lord. We thank you, God, again for loving us in spite of ourselves. We thank you for the armor, O God, of the Holy Spirit, he that lives inside. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Feel free to stay and pray.